shiur with ten, 15 minutes of chazorah, which I will easier for me than for you. I will summarize. I'll summarize the maskone on the first five and Simmons had a test on the first five, six, seven, each day. So you will have in your notes of the maskone. There's a second approach, and that is to take into account, which I've really not been sharing with you, but I've had the opportunity since preparing also to see what the Prima Godim says and so on. I think I have fairly clear halacha lamaisa from Baruch Hashem from many years. I know what minig Yisrael is, how we paskin. The ability though in your mind to be able to summarize tzadik ches, like we used to do when we learned Gemara, after a blat Gemara, a good Rebbe would ask you, okay, what's the shakla v'taliyah? Say what the Gemara says, Akasha Teres said. I think that's the proper way to study Yeridaya. When all is said and done, you want to know what the bottom line is. That's the purpose of studying Yeridaya. So I think maybe starting tomorrow, I'll prepare it maybe in note form, maybe even you could even photocopy it for you, just a maskon. But if you have the ability to take notes quickly, it should be more than adequate. Anyway, today let's start kufay, and you see what I mean when I said it's a potpourri. It's a choke, a mixture of all kinds of nice things, especially on the halacha of kovash kamavushal. It's a very disturbing subtitle on kofay. I don't know what we were talking about up to now, but now he suddenly decides to tell you about din isur shenafal ahead l'toch hetzer. What do you think we had up to now? Isur and hetzer that were respectful of each other's domain, and they didn't mix into each other. All we're talking about is Hilchos Taruvos. That's why he gave it this subtitle, Reish Chodesh. Anyway, here we're talking about basically Kovush, and then Halacha, which is difficult to explain scientifically. That's the Halacha of Eloi Gova, Tatoi Gova. I feel like whether he's on the bottom and cold on top, but at first, Isur Shenishra in Heter Meifeis. And here you define Kovush. What is Kovush? Meifeis Bitzonen. That's mixing Kovush. Varehu Kimavusho. Vinesa Kulo. Why Nesa Kulo? Because soon we'll talk about whether it's only Asas Kidei Klipa in the Tilas Mokom. Here he has to tell you we're talking about no kimavushol that nesa kulo, right? Avo pachas mekan b'hadochas sagi. For less than 24 hours, it's enough just to rinse it off. You had prepared chicken for Shabbos, had it in the refrigerator, had it in the second shelf, and a bottle of milk, a container of milk began to leak, and leaked onto the chicken. Depends when it happened. For less than 24 hours, you wash it off, taking into account other problems which you'll have in Basar B'Cholah, namely, if it was cooked chicken, if it was chicken that was already spiced, already put on the garlic and the pepper already, that changes the halacha of kovash. Otherwise, nothing. For less than 24 hours, some milk leaks out of the chicken, so you rinse it off and check. No big deal.
Can I just move this to your lapel? No problem. Is that okay?
No problem. comes the Ramah and was Mazda. Don't know whether Mechaba in Beis Yosef, I couldn't figure out whether Mechaba argues, or just that the Ramah is just Mosif is Hezbollah. Chomokom, Namrinan, Kovish Kimavushal, Artilum Masha Chutzva Kavisha also. Dadeya Kavisha Shalamata, Mispapea Lamala Kimobavishal. I said Kovish Kimavushal means just that. So the part that was sticking in, so if I had a piece of meat, and that example I gave you of milk leaking on meat, but a hunk of meat fell from the top shelf into a pot of milchik soup, and the piece of meat didn't get totally immersed. So Shaila is, can I cut off the top of the meat that was not kovush? No, you can't do that. Why? Kovush kimavushal, meaning as if it was cooking, if a piece of meat was cooking in a pot of milk, we wouldn't question that vadai, the whole chaticha becomes also here too. Yesh mikilim b'masha shebechutz. Okay. I think right now you should have that feel for that. When it says yesh mikilim, what's the consequence of that? No, follow quickly. It says yesh mikilim. Oh, what's it that you know? Yesh mikilim, but tov lahachmir. Yesh mikilim doesn't do you much help, except where. Huh? I'm sorry. Perhaps it opens up a possibility of being to be posek l'kule when necessary. The suffix kovush also milvad bebosar im cholav. Here you have one of the unique situations where bosar b'cholav is more kil than stam isu. Normally, Bosa B'cholav, because of the Chumur of Bosa B'cholav, it's also about Noah, etc. We're Machmer more. Here we're Machmer less. Why? Dazlina L'kula, Dimina Torah, Eina also Rak B'bishul Mamish. You have to remember your origins. Bosa B'cholav is Heta B'Heta. And mixing together Bosa B'cholav remains Heta B'Heta. Chazal came and made a Chumur. But if we're not for the Rabbanon, I wouldn't have to worry about Bosa B'cholav got mixed up as long as I don't cook it. I can eat it without cooking. So if you have cold milk fell into Fleischige Borscht with meat in there, you stir it up and eat it. Midoraisa, right? The Rabbanan, we also, therefore, since really there is no potential of Esau without Bishul, since we're dealing here, remember he threw in there the one word, Me'es Le'es Bitzonan. Since we're dealing Bitzonan, there's no Chashash of Bosa B'cholav, a real Bosa B'cholav, therefore we're Meikul.
So
the Sefek
was
Meikul,
but Bosa B'cholav,
but
everything else was
Meikul. Right, in other words, even though in other Sefekos, even Safid Rabbanan were machmir, as we'll see. Vimu kovush besov tzir or besov chometz. Now we talk kovush. Two kinds of kovush. Kovush was defined before as bitzonen, meaning nothing special, whatever liquid it was no heat. That's the key. To take it away from a bushel. Now we come, what about kovush with chorif? Just as we saw, this is the connection, just as we saw when it came to blia, chorif was a factor, right, in the chaticha sakin and so on and so forth. Is kovush also modified by what kind of liquid do you have? And the two main liquids at Chazal we're aware of are the same two liquids which are universal today. Liquids that preserve the food. And that is either chometz or melach. Right. Tzir is essentially, that's what we make tzir, essentially a salt. Okay? Vimu kovush b'sof tzir, or b'sof chometz. then you have a new shiur. Not the shiur of Meis Veis, but go a new shiur, a shiur of Bishul. The Kovash Kimavusho is 24 hours. Kovash Kimavusho, when dealing with Chometz or Tzir, is like it was being cooked in that thing. And therefore, the time unit is the cooking time unit. Then it's Shor Kadeshi, Tnemel Ala O, V'yasiach, V'yasril is Vashel. Then Areo Kimavusho. So it takes 20 minutes. What amount of time it would take to boil up this pot? Right? It's a shear of Kimavusho. Ubepochesh Mishir Zer, Lo Nesar Elo Kidei Klipa. You can make yourself a mental image of what we're talking about, right? That is whatever it is, fell into a, you had a what we have nowadays that people would know about it, but let's see. Once upon a time, at home we made our own pickle, our own sauerkraut. Made pickle. Had cucumbers, curvers preferably, little cucumbers, right? And you put it in with 5% by weight salt. That's it. And you people can do it at home, show up for your mother or your wife. There's a sale on small cucumbers, Kirby's. Just you throw it into a pot, and you can use weight volume interchangeably. You can take 5 ounces of salt and add 100 ounces of water. That's it. Then you sit down and learn for a few days, three, 4 or 5 days, and you end up with pickle. If something falls in there, a piece of meat fell into there, right? Then the piece of meat is only nesar kidei klipa, but trouble is you're dealing heter beheter. So you don't have a good example. I can't imagine today how would it give me a case where you'd have a piece of meat falling into something which is classified as chometz or tzir. The way here, we don't have it here, but Bosa B'cholov, I give you an example which is not uncommon, was not an uncommon shaila once upon a time when women kashered their own chicken, their own meat. So you had meat on an inclined plane, right, and the stuff dripped off into a bowl or into the sink, right. And if your sink stopper was closed and the tzir accumulated there and a piece of meat slipped off and fell in there, which was not an uncommon occurrence, if you catch it right away, then you rinse it off. That's only hadocha. If, however, it stayed the shiur in his bashel, it should be something like 10, 15, 20 minutes, right, depending on the volume of material that you have. Right. Then the meat would become also, right, because it was balei adam, shiur of salt and blood mixture. It would balei that mixture. And when Melach takes out the salt, the meat, the blood that was in the meat originally. But if you go ahead and you soak your meat back into the blood, then melicha doesn't help. It's treated like a davar osso and follows these halachas. Okay, you have that clear? In our home, we always made pickle for Rosh Hashanah. Why? Maybe Yisrael, I know you have it in your home, that we don't use anything with chometz during Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, until after Simchas Torah. Why? Because somehow, like, chometz v'shinayim k'osher le'inayim k'chomis v'shinayim. Looked upon as a negative. Also, chomis is used as a sign of failure. Right? One of the Tanaim said, I am k'chomis ben yayin. My father was yayin, and I am chomis. I turned vinegar. So that's how the meaning developed. We don't use chomis during that period of time of a Sersimei Tshuva until after Shemini Atzeres, after Simchas Torah. There. So we always, but people wanted to eat pickle with their meat, with their meals. So you made your own, because the pickle that they buy always has vinegar in it. Why? But vinegar is a marvelous deterrent to bacterial growth. So even when they make so-called salt pickle, if you buy from Eretz Yisrael the cans of salt pickle, maybe in the Gei Halacha L'Maaseh too, sometimes such a shayla, you look in the ingredients, you see the ingredients contain vinegar. It says salt and brine, pickles and brine, which would be salt, lav davki, salt plus vinegar. So to avoid the vinegar, make our own pickles. One of the simple tricks that people could do with very low risk of failure. There's almost nothing you can do wrong, except one thing. You let the pickle float to the top. The pickle's got to be underwater, anaerobic, otherwise mold goes on it. So traditionally, what was done is a piece of wood. Use a big little vat, a little barrel. You put a piece of wood over it and a stone on top of that, so that you make sure everything stays immersed underwater, so it's safe to use. Three recipes on based upon a minigur soil. Which, are you people familiar with that minigur? Not eating chometz. Fairly widespread. They don't serve chayin, horseradish, with your fish on Yom Tov, because the horseradish contains vinegar. It's not the horseradish, it's the vinegar in the horseradish. Yeah. You know what, Mitra?
No.
Don't have that vinegar by you. Pick up a new minhagim, right? You gotta get something out coming to Yeshiva. Heterim, you're not gonna get. Might as well pick up a few yisurim, but. Okay. Next. After I told you it's a potpourri, it's a mixture of halachas that he stuck together in Kufay. Chom shal kli rishon, shayat soler zo, which, as I told you, I think consensus is 45 degrees. Okay. It's hard to understand why it became a kubel 45 degrees. Because it's not. After she come down to the biology department, you see we have incubators running at 45 degrees for growing certain bacteria. You put your hand in there, it's been on there for many weeks already, it's 45 degrees, put your hand on there, you will just feel a sense of warmth and nothing really special. Right. Yet, interesting, 45 degrees, how you measure it? It's something I don't fully appreciate. What temperature is acceptable to you in a bathtub? And you would know it because you most likely don't never take a bath. You take showers. That's how people don't use baths. But I can tell you, in Yerushalayim, we used to go to Hammam Turki on Rov Yecheskel. Stopped going there a number of years ago because it became a center for the gay community of Yerushalayim. People stopped going there. I have Kufay, of the Kufay base. But there they had three mikvos. A hot mikveh, normal mikveh, warm mikveh, and a cold mikveh. Right. You couldn't go into the hot mikveh. Hot mikveh, you saw all you had there was a few old, skinny Sfardashir Yerushalmis, who would be in the mikveh with just their nose sticking up, right, completely immersed, every now and then stick their head up and yell at the attendant to add more heat. It's getting cold. And not exaggerating, you couldn't put your toes into that mikveh. So obviously there's individual differences there, right? But that mikveh at that temperature was only, I was curious because of the insulator, so one day I came with my thermometer, right, and we measured. That temperature, which was totally unacceptable, meaning more than you could stand, more soledis, whatever that means, right, was only 110. Now 110, 45 degrees, right, is 81 plus 32, right, which is 81 plus 32 is 113 degrees. 113 degrees, I show you, you're holding your hand to garnish, but you can't immerse your body in it. So there's how they measured Yatzoledes, that's why they threw in a zinger there. Feso shaltin look nichwes emena. So you don't know, you couldn't put a baby in that mikveh that they have down there, that so-called hot mikveh. Certainly baby would come out injured. So that's why, although it's hard to understand from my practice experience why 45 was makubal, when I tried to put together my own experience, I realized that 45 is an unacceptable high temperature for total immersion of your body. That's for sure. And that may be the way they test it. Now, halacha l'maisa, that seems to be a fairly strong consensus. Whoever writes and puts out a figure, it's 45 degrees centigrade, right? Which is conversion to Fahrenheit, 9/5 plus 32. Okay. Let's look at the right. 81 plus 32, right? Okay. So chom shall kli rishon shayatzal letters bo mevashel v'osel kulo avol chom shall kli sheni eina mevashel v'yesh omrim shegam kein eina maflet v'lo mavliya v'yesh omrim mekom mokom hu maflet v'mavliya v'osel kdei klipa v'voy lochesh nizor v'dobo lachatzile. What's he saying? Home klisheni shayatzal edesbo. Otherwise, it's tona. You should know that boundary line is black and white. Above yatzal edes is hot. Below yatzal edes is cold. Therefore, the yeshomun. Right? Some say, forget about klisheni. We're not talking about anything but tona. Klisheni becomes tona. Second mandama says. No, I'm sorry, the first one never says, no, it's sonen the gabe bishul, but it's mufflet the balea. Therefore, if I put a piece of iso, a piece of heter, and a klisheni of yatzoledes, there'll be blee in our plot. The gabe what? Most likely kidei klipa, right? The yeshomim, right? Mikol mokom hu mufflet the mablea, but also kidei klipa. So the first one says, ain't a mufflet. The first one never holds it's mufflet the balea, but it's not mabashil. Second one. Now, what about Shabbos? How about Klik Sheni for Shabbos? Do people, you all learned Hilchot Shabbos? Or attended special 14th, 30th year Shul, that wasn't like a contemporary Aloha Shul, but, right? So, how do we say on a Klik Sheni on Gabi Shabbos? Okay. That's okay. Mishabura, look at Hilchas Bishul, Shin Yud Ches. What does he say? If you have, you have to also appreciate what was once a proper cuisine. Shabbos morning, you ate pacha. I know what pacha is. It doesn't sell well with the American community, but American yeshiva light. But that is as close to Gan Eden as you can come for a European descendant. Shabbos morning to have pecha, which is the legs of the animal, which are very rich in gelatin and cooks all night. And if you eat pecha and you're not careful to wipe your lips right away, you cannot speak the rest of the day because the lips seal from the gelatin. Yeah. But the way you eat it, the Mishnah Berurah knew, is you have old bread crust which has been rubbed with garlic, with fresh garlic, and that's put into the pecha, like croutons put into pecha. And the Mishnah Berurah also klisheni yatzoledes, right, in which you're going to put in bread. Why? Bread is ofri, could review Hilchos Shabbos. Bread is ofri, yesh bishul acha afiyah, yesh afiyah acha bishul, ein bishul acha bishul, av yesh bishul acha afiyah. The bread has not been cooked, the bread is baked, you put it into, so that he held gabi iso Shabbos, there's bishul on the klisheni yatzoledes book. Okay, just mention that, agavuch. You with us? Okay, which is again the same principle. And we'll do some shachan in a minute, in a few minutes. Avo b'di'eved muta b'lo klipa b'adocha ba'almasagi. That's how the machaber is machia. That b'di'eved klisheni is not mevashel, and it's not mavliya, except kidei klipa. Now comes the third halacha. As I told you, you have here a mixture of halachas. First halacha was halacha of kovush. Second halacha is halacha of klisheni. The third halacha is a halacha that's not so easy to understand, but that's how we paskin anyway. Halacha called tatoi gova. The one on the bottom is the one that determines what the mixture is. Nopal isu ham, so heta ham. What kind of ham? Of kli rishon. People, I want you to understand, you got to get clear what you mean by kli rishon. Kli rishon does not mean it's on the fire. And kli rishon, there, it's off the fire. It's still called kli rishon, right? In other words, even though it's Husam Agavi Eish, like for example, again, compared to Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, you have Agavi Eish. Agavi Eish, there's an Isur of Megis. I can't take, you have stuff in your crock pot, in your slow cooker, a chunk, and you want to serve. You can't serve from there. You have to take the insert out, right? Then you can serve. But while it's in there, there's an Isur of Megis. Stuff on the fire, you stir it as part of derech bishul bekach, so we don't allow hagosa, right? So megis is a component of bishul. Okay, so megis also. So you deal with what? A kli rishon, but kli rishon shehuso meigabe yoish. There's no iso megis, but at least all of these certain stick. It's still called the kli rishon until it loses temperature. How much we'll see in a minute. Nopal iso ham so heta ham de kli rishon. O apilu iso tzonon so heta ham. Hot and hot, cold and hot. Hakol also. De tatoi gova. Now, try to figure out why he bothers to tell you the first line. That ham in ham, isu, no, for isu ham, so heta ham, the kli rishon, or isu tzonen, so heta ham, right? Hakol also, the tatoi govar al elyon, umachamamo ache maflet betachton. So if you tell me that isu tzonen asos, why do you have to tell me that Isacham Asos? Isacham Elyon Like it's also because the bottom is hot. I don't care what the top is. The top could be hot, the top could be cold. Because we pass in Tatoi Gova. Then why bother telling me that Isocham or Sochetocham is also, if you're going to tell me that Isotzonim or Sochetocham is also, so Pshitacham and Cham is also. Okay? So we have now, and this is the common thread that's running through Kufay, defining Bishul. It's now easy to remember that way. First halacha comes to tell you there's a Bishul, what, sub-units, or there's a subsidiary of Bishul called Kovush. Then there's a second halacha, right? The halacha of Kli Rishon Shayat Soledes, right? Defining Bishul. And third, defining Bishul in that Bishul goes, that's the analogy to help you remember, Bishul goes like you cook. When you cook, you have a fire on the bottom and the food is on top. What determines the heat? The fire on the bottom. Likewise, if the bottom piece of food is yatzoledes and something falls on top of it, then they get cooked together, and therefore it comes also. If, however, the reverse, the bottom is cold and the top is hot, then it's only negiyah, it's not bishul, and therefore it only also kedei klipa. Okay. Aval ima elyon cham ba tachton sonen ina also te klipa atilu im elyon hacham isu. Right. But tatoi goba. See it. The only scientific analogy to this would be the fact that heat rises. Right? Heat rises. Yeah. Okay, Ramor comes in his masbir. Kol zeh lo ma'iriel b'chom kli rishon. Kigan miyad sheisiro min eish. Right, we nicho im aheter. Aval im kvar munar beklisheini, the yachakach me niach aheter etzlo or olov, eina osar kal. The klisheini eina osar kemoshen is bayer. How does that compare to what the Mechaber said in Beis? In Beis, we're talking about a cooking situation, a mixture, a pot with liquid, solid liquid. Right. In the Gemara, we're talking about, in Gimel, we're talking about just physical contact, not totally immersed with, not intermingled with each other. Chozer l'may re'ele b'chom k'rishon ganach miyad she'esirum in eish minichu im aheta. Aval im kvar munar b'klisheini, not liquid with solid, but you took out a piece of meat from the broiler, from the oven, and put it down on a plate. And then someone misunderstood what it was there and put down next to it a piece of cheese. Only I can imagine isur hetel in a normal household. Osa commotion is by it. Vimi nicho ze itzo ze. Im shnei el chamin mi chom kli rishon. Then hakol osa. Okay. that's already a new interpretation of Bishul. So look quickly the Shach in Ches. And we'll review this with the Shach again. Im Shnei Mechamim Mechom Kli'ishon, Das Mashal, right? The Dov or Gush, Kakrichas Bosor or Dog, or Orez or Dochen, the Mar and Cham in Akreira, Im Ayat Soledes, Bo Dinel Olam Kikli'ishon. Name Yodena Lachia, at the early, given that Tosus per Kira Kosu Atam Lachalek, the creation of Krishani, the creation of Kivin Shoman Allah, Dov Nosov Chamin, the Maxik Homus Mamruba, and Yira called Tolly Bidfanos, and King Dov Gush, Name, Kivin the Mikra Yovish, Oshara Bow the Fanos, Karkosa Bis of Edo, the Yovish Lake the Fanos and Akaros, Omavashe Leolam calls Manshi Yasso Edisbo. Here you have, I will go do more on this tomorrow, but just be able to understand simple pshat. What are they telling you? That Kli Rishon versus Kli Rishon, which is a Dov Gush taken out of the Kli Rishon. Okay? Again, this you need a little bit Bosa Bacholov. Okay. No, actually, it's down east of the Hetel as well. Okay. How do you treat a dish? Give you an example that will help you remember. Shaila comes up there. Every few months, there's a thing on your computer called eBay, and unsere Chevre become very proficient in using eBay. So here is a classic Shaila: young couple gets married, right, and they need the dishes. Right? Well, sometimes they get dishes for gifts. Sometimes they get money for gifts. We found out that on eBay you can buy a whole set of very, very expensive china, relatively cheap. The problem, it's not kosher. How can you kosher it? That's a side issue. There's a way to kosher it, right? It's called Hazorah L'Kipshon. You can send it back into the kiln. And there's a service you can do that, you can kosher it. So, China gets trade, you can cancel it. Okay, that's just an introduction. What happens in your house, right?
Is that the service where they reglaze?
It's called reglaze, right. That's the name of the service, called reglazing, which is, they smear on again some of the feinschmeckers who serve important guests. Careful every few years to send their china into reglazing, because it would seem that when you use china, even though the knife doesn't cut through, the knife makes marks that makes the china less clean looking. Yeah. So to make it shiny and look in, you have to reglaze it. Heavy. That's not important. No. So you go ahead. And you have a barbecue. Go ahead, you put a steak in the broiler. Right. And since you decided to be a good husband and you're serving, right? So you take out the steak and of course you put it on a milchiker plate. Because you don't really remember which is milchiker, which is plate. Okay. What about the plate? Is it treif or not? You need a little bit of bosa for that, but is it, you know, I have a milk to play, but, oh, I told you, it's not such a tragedy, you can kosher it, send it back. Right. Not so easy with one plate, what to do with it, they won't accept it, you have to set a whole set. Okay, but nevertheless, does the plate become treif or not? The answer is, that a double gush is like a kli yichidah in itself. Okay. So therefore, when he says here, you should know that a double gush is the yavi yavish, the leke de panos hamakaros, umavashe liolam, kol zman sheyasa ledes bo. So you have here an important distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Kli Rishon is not just a matter of temperature heat. Okay. It's also a matter of, I don't know the physics term that we use nowadays, but there's a thermal coefficient. That was the old lotion we used. There might be a new lotion this now. In other words, you can heat up a piece of metal to a temperature and then see how long it takes to cool down, or better yet, how much temperature it can transmit to something else. Or you can take a stone and heat up and see how much temperature it can transmit. Besides the temperature, the degree of temperature, there's a total amount of heat which a person, which a object contains or maintains. And you people, anyone took enough physics to know what I'm talking about? This thermal coefficient, right, is what will determine how much heat is transferred. So what he's trying to let you know is, remember, with a Kli Rishon, I have more than just the liquid or the solid of the Kli Rishon. I have also, if I'm dealing with a Kli Rishon, I have put something in the Kli Rishon, I have the walls which also contain heat, and therefore they add to the bishul of the Kli Rishon. Unlike a Kli Sheni, which no longer has the additional heat that's contained in the walls, likewise the double gush itself, right, is only the heat that it has. It has no walls around it to add an additional quantity of heat other than the degree of temperature which you measure with a thermometer. That's the important distinction that the Shach is introducing. Let's see if you can catch just one more little piece in here. Finish the Gemara. Vim echad sonen haheto tzor klipa b'mokom shenoga. What is he talking about? Again, not really tatoi govar, iloi govar, but both are hot. If both are hot, even though you're dealing with a Kli Sheni, then certainly he says that shneim chamin v'michom Kli Rishon, then hakol also. If, however, one is hot, one is cold, b'olim ha'echot sonen, then ha'heto tzor klipa b'mokom shenoga, only this klipa. So the Gemara added an additional chumre, that even though you're dealing not with total immersion of Isur and Heter, but you're dealing them only touching side by side, if both are hot, you treat it as if it's cooked together. If one is hot, one is cold, you just create klipa. Whether the chilik, whether the Isur is cold or the Heter is cold. Isur sheinicho b'kli Heter, right? O lehepach. Amrinan be gam kein din tatoi govar kemo bebeis chatichos. Therefore, if I put a hot isur on a cold plate, the hot isur will not asur the plate. If, however, I put a cold isur in a hot plate, or certainly a hot isur in a hot plate of isur, then the last halacha. Also, la'aros mikli sheyesh bo shuman kosher l'ner dolek sheyesh bo chelev o shuman isu. The d'yeved ein lochosh. Here, Shach explains, what are we talking about? In the old days, remember, they had oil lamps. And some of the oil, so-called, was animal oil. So I want to refill the oil lamp before it goes out. So I will take some kosher oil that I have, or kosher fat, and pour in. As I pour in, since the neir is dolek, it's still burning, there is steam, aid, something coming out from the trefa fat in the oil lamp, and as I pour, it'll make contact with my container on top. Shach says it's due to this aid, this vapors that rise. Therefore, lechatzili shouldn't do it, but the eved, it's a chumra. You can, but the eved is kosher. Again, the analogy to another halacha should be clear in your mind. Who remembers sugi at Shabbos? Of course, in Mishnah, in Mikvos, Nitzuk v'katafris. Does it strike any familiar chord in your mind? HaNitzuk v'katafris. Okay? Nitzuk is what we're talking about. The classic halacha is by Mikvos. I have two Mikvos, one on top of the other, and water is pouring from one mikveh into the other mikveh. The top mikveh doesn't have memsor. If I combine the two, as long as I have that stream connecting, do we say that that's called a chibur, right? And therefore, it's treated as one. I think that's the real reason why the minig, it seems just be a minig, because b'dieved is kosher, and b'dieved we're not worried about it, that by pouring from a kosher container of oil into a trefa container, then I have a moment when the streams connect, when the stream connects the bottom with the top. That I think is it. But since we're dealing with Isur v'Heter, not a concept of what's called Chibur, what's called a unit, the Shach gives an explanation that makes a little better sense to Gabi Isur v'Heter, namely, we're afraid that the steam coming up from the, or the smoke coming up from the lamp burning on chalev, on trefa fat, will rise up and enter into the container of the kosher oil, and that's why it shouldn't be done. But the expression here is not ba'machmat tovel or bracha, what it says, u'b'dieved ein lochosh, you have to be sensitive to the lashonos, meaning it's a real chumra. B'dieved you have to worry about. Okay, let's stop here. If you people agree, I think tomorrow we'll start off. You can take a look yourself, maybe see if I can quickly summarize for you the first five seifim inside the Ches, and little by little serve as a review of the halachas that we learned already. That's generally a good way to study Gemara, especially this is called the Shakla Vitalia method. That you learn an Omid Gemara, you ask yourself, say over in your mind the Shakla Vitalia. Rabbi Yochanan asked Akasha, the Shokesh gave a Teretz, the Gemara asked Akasha, the Shokesh, and it's a tremendous aid to memorization. Okay, we'll stop here. How do you turn this so quickly before it goes off? This is the off button.
Yes.